time, then maybe the Spirit will come and arm wrestle with you. No, you have faith. You take both hands and grab hold of the promises of God, and the Holy Spirit will take care of the enemy. None of what I teach works if you're not faithing. The problem with the church is misdirected energy. The perverts want you to direct it in the wrong place with the wrong people. Now we're down to the juicy part. Now, even if I'd go along with these people that want to make it an imperative command, the 16th verse, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Then they go off on some private encyclopedia what the lust of the flesh is. Smoking cigars. Where does it say that? Well, you're not supposed to ask questions like that. Just let me... Come on. Perverts. See, they pull this text out. See, number one, I'm telling you that the message of the 16th verse is the statement of an axiomatic truth, the same message as Romans chapter 8. It is the message that if you do what God says, He will give you His Spirit for. His Spirit provides the energizing force for you and God to work it out. You'll change. But if the perverts can misdirect you, flesh to flesh, you'll never become a child of promise. You're staying in bondage. But even if I would temporarily, a Paul technique, agree with you and say, if you're going to misinterpret it, at least limit your bondage peddling to what God's Word calls the lust of the flesh, not your private theories. All Paul is telling you is what it looks like when it comes out. You have to, you know, he does what I do. Ever so often he brings a verse in there for the dummies. Ever so often I have to, when I preach, say something. My people don't need me to say it. They figured it out. But I got to just sort of enlighten the dummies among the legalists. As if I need to be told what the flesh looks like when it comes out, I live with it. But for these asinine perverts, at least he did us the service. He sort of drew a fence around the lust of the flesh to the degree that it doesn't seem to fit what the church is hammering on us all the time about. Let's see what they are. Adults of the flesh are these, adultery. You've got to be a fool to not know that. Well, he just does everything on TV. Well, I told you Sunday ago, I've never adulterated on TV. And if you're going to spiritualize it, Paul already has. Adultery is what these people are doing, being like Abram in the tent. But I know what the word means. The only problem is left out of the earliest manuscripts, because the next word is supposed to include them both. Check me out, you scholars. You legalists that know the law. The earliest manuscripts leave that first word out. And the second word is supposed to include them both. You know what the second word is? The word from which we get pornography. Exact same word. There's our word for pornography. You sure you want me to get into this?
Yes, sir.
Let's read it in the King James first. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Well, that just sounds awful. Well, what in the world does a good old right reverend have to say about all this? Where the right reverends are going to work on it. I mean, you know, I'm going to take these right reverends. You see what they have to say. The first in our English Bible adultery is rejected from the Greek text for the general consensus of all the editors, because it wasn't in the earliest ones. Well, you know, but since King James was written on Mount Sinai, we'll just leave it in. I don't really care. I'm not promoting adultery. I think there's somewhat of a difference between cigar smoking and adultery. I'm sorry those perverts can't see the difference. I know how to adulterate. Doesn't mean I want to do it. Doesn't mean I should do it. You know, when the Bible says a bishop be the husband of one wife, the literal is not the one wife. The literal is a one-wife kind of man. Now, that's a breed of a different color. There are just an awful lot of preachers and deacons and Christians that are the husband of the one wife, but they ain't a one-wife kind of man. I'm telling you, if God in an average Sunday morning service would just run a scroll out of the top of the head and just sort of write on it over everybody's head the thoughts that have gone on the whole week. Now, Jesus said, thoughts bad as the deed. But he's also talking about the same thing. Now, I'm telling you, the word is not in the best text. But it's all right. I just really ain't against it. I'm not that much going to quarrel with them on adultery. They can leave it in. I don't really think that endangers my lifestyle that much. I'm tired of these people thinking just because I smoke a cigar, I adulterate. I'm one of the few preachers in the world your wife's safe with. I can boast a little about that. You know, you can feel vibrations. There are very few times in my entire life these stupid women send out their vibrations to get anything back from me. That ain't my style. That ain't my style. I don't release them vibrations to men or women. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
All right, lay the camera over here. Right here. Over where you can see what I'm writing, the other side. Right here. Watch this. Hurry up. Where are you guys? Don't have to worry about you adulterating. You ain't fast enough. That's in the Greek words, Greek letters. Porneia. There is in English letters. Porneia. That's the word for fornication. I mean, that's what Paul wrote. And I'm telling you, he didn't write adultery. He wrote porneia. Now, the Supreme Court's having trouble defining that. But if we're going to talk about the lust of the flesh, let's start out with what Paul said. Porneia. Then we still got ourselves a job trying to figure out what he meant by porneia. Now, I ain't for adulterating, fornicating, or any of it. My life's my business, and your life's your business. But just for the record, I can live with what the King James says, but I'm a faithful teacher of God's word. What Paul wrote down was porneia. Right there is where I differ at the Bible. We've got to make it tougher than that. All I'm really saying to you is the 16th verse doesn't really mean what some people are trying to say it means. Walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh as an order to us. Thou shalt not. It's not a thou shalt not. It's an axiomatic, self-evident statement. You get in that spaceship, Don Knotts, and you're going to fly, not stay on the ground. But if I want to be a fool with them for a minute and say, thou shalt not fulfill the lust of the flesh, well, let's stick to what the lusts of the flesh are. Porneia. I don't have trouble with that. I believe I can live till Jesus comes, not porneia. But we haven't solved the problem with that, you know. We've got to figure out what Paul meant by porneia. Well, everybody knows what he means. Jerusalem's interpreted it for us. Nashville, Amsterdam, or Anderson. Well, I left half the crowd right there on that. Uncleanness. Well, I like the King James on that. I can't stand anybody that's dirty. Shall I go on?
Yes, sir.
You know, we'll get down here to this lasciviousness. Now, when we get to that one, that's really going to be a good one. Lasciviousness. Go ahead and write in the Bible. Write in the margin of your Bible what I'm telling you. Adultery is not in the earliest, best text. But because porneia is the common denominator sin that he's talking about in both cases. You know, we've got funny definitions now. We got adultery is when we let modern man define God's word for it. Adultery is doing it when you're married with somebody else. And fornicating is doing it with somebody before you ever got married or after you're unmarried. Well, my friend Jesus said, I'll be right back. You want me to continue? You know, we might as well solve the more important problem going out the gate. What Paul mean by porneia? That's a desire and lust of the flesh. And the Spirit really, the Spirit doesn't really get too excited about porneia. Now, Don Knotts, for example, could porneia on the ground. But once he got in that spaceship, my friend, porneia was left behind. Now let's play, let's talk about sin, and if you want me to continue, you get on a telephone. We're talking about porneia. We skipped over moikeia. Now, moikeia, that's translated adultery. But it's not in the best text. Because porneia is supposed to cover them both. Now we're on uncleanness. Akatharsia. Now that's a good one. Uncleanness is akatharsia. You want to stay away from porneia and akatharsia. We're on uncleanness now. It's akatharsia. Write them in your Bible. Right here it is. Greek letters. Akatharsia. That's uncleanness. Now what in the hell does that mean? Doesn't mean you got scabies or scabbies. Now, I rather like the King James there. Uncleanness. And we're about to get to lasciviousness. Aselgaia. Aselgaia. Now that's lasciviousness. Akatharsia and aselgaia. Try that on the next guy that dumps on you. Say, just stay off my case when you can translate porneia and akatharsia and aselgaia. or a Selgaia. We'll talk. Until then, leave me and the Spirit of God alone. Because the Spirit of God doesn't need to know the meaning or how to pronounce the word to just burst me free from all these lice crawling around here on this earth. You want me to continue?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what. Uncleanness is a continual state. It's porneia. You know what lasciviousness really is? The selgaia. A man engages in lasciviousness in its real meaning when he wantonly and insolently and recklessly is brutal in his treatment of others. I've seen a few evangelists that way on new converts, on Christians that don't conform to their standard. It's the natural temptation of the bondwoman and Ishmael to recklessly and brutally and insolently treat you. There's nothing because you happen to be acting in a way they disapprove. You ever felt that treatment? Isn't it interesting? You never hear any of these preachers preaching this on Sunday. You know, their little pea brains stick to cigars and dancing. And they put their meanings on these things. And the main reason is they couldn't read the Greek if they tried. They don't know what Paul said. They're like that quartet singer. The only difference is he had the good sense to sit down and shut up. Am I boring you?
Sure.
Play it again. Let's talk about sin. If you want me to continue, I will. But I'm going to have this begged out of me. This is not a subject that I enjoy. I'd rather talk about the grace of God. But I'll play the fool, you know. I'd rather talk about moral delivery than tie you up with definition.
God.
If you want to be a king's house and support me in this crusade for freedom, just call. We're heading toward 33,000 king's houses. We need 300,000. That's what we need. King's House makes the commitment to try to watch at least one night a week and to support in some way. If you really believe in what I'm doing, you'll become a Gideon. They tithe or give $100 a month. You say, I can't give $100. Well, tithe. I said, well, what do we do? My own church. Well, you're supposed to give two. Give one of them to me if I teach you. That's the only way that I ever want to be supported, people that I teach. All right, you ready to go on?
Yes, sir.
Am I boring you?
No, sir.
You understand what I'm saying, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I know you do. I just said that. I'm playing the fool, you know, Paul, just like Paul did. If you're going to lay these sin sermons on me, lay it on me Paul's way. I don't have any trouble with any of this. I ain't adulterating, and that ain't even the best text. I'm not interested in pointing in uncleanness. I'm going to live in a perpetual state of looking down and cultivating that pernicious and porneous state of mind, lasciviousness. That's insolent, reckless. It's the epitome of that ruthless attitude of self-righteous saints who want to put you down all the time. Lasciviousness, idolatry. Idolalatreia. Idolalatreia. That's the Greek word. You know that includes biblolatry? I preached the other day. That includes denominationality. That includes worshiping Sinai instead of God. That includes trying to make heaven conform to a Jerusalem down here instead of recognizing the Jerusalem which is above as the mother of us all. But it had a priority reference in that day. They were actually worshiping idols. I don't really have much trouble with that. Either in the literal, direct, immediate meaning of it. I mean, I don't really, you know, I believe I'm a sinner. I fell short today, but I don't really believe I've porneid, engaged in uncleanness or lasciviousness or idolatry. Now, that next one is witchcraft. You know what the word is in the Greek? Pharmakeia. Pharmakeia. It's the same word from which we get pharmaceutical. That includes some of these pervert preachers dumping us on us all the time, but they can't go to sleep without Valium. Pharmakeia. Now, it was translated in the King James, and into the medieval church, it became synonymous with sorcery, because the sorcerers in those days tended to use drugs to induce the state they were trying to bring you into. But it is not sorcery per se that Paul is against. Sorcery is but one means of the use of drugs. I ain't condemning anybody. You know, somebody's liable to say, okay, you're not having any trouble with these, but I am. I mean, you know, I got trouble with adulterating and fornicating. And well, I'm not too sure that you've got trouble with porneia. And I'm still going to be true to the text in spite of all the misunderstandings. See, this is where people water the scripture down. They're so afraid of being misunderstood by the brethren from Jerusalem. They won't teach it the way it is. Well, but I got real trouble with this one. Pharmakeia. You see, I've done these things and I'm doing them. Well, so the grace of, and what's my message to you? You dirty rat! No, that's not my message. My message is the same as Paul's. Grace and peace. Get in the spaceship. Be, you know, if adultery and fornicating and pharmakeia and porneia, if all that lasciviousness and uncleanness was down on the ground, that's probably why poor old John Don Knotts, he wanted back down there. He knew how to operate in that sphere. He felt familiar there. And this spaceship was blasting him off into unfamiliar territory. But my friend, if he stayed in the ship, unfamiliar territory was going to become his norm. Now, he could have flapped down there in the territory of the porneias, flapping porneias, and flapping lasciviousness. You're still porneian and fleshy and flesh lasciviousness. Shouldn't have gotten the ship. He didn't want to fly. Don't have faith in God if you don't expect the Spirit to go to work on you, friend. How many of you have been changed? Never dreamed you'd be changed. Let me see your hands. How many of you have been changed by the fact you're sure you couldn't be? Witchcraft is pharmakeia. Now there's some people going to go all the way over. You know, I always said now, don't ever go to a pharmacy, don't take any medicine. There are some real pathetic people in pain that have become hooked on the drugs that dull the pain. I'm still going to preach the message of grace and love to you. You keep fading. You've got the same hope I've got. Spirit of life in you. To your amazement, it'll heal you one of these days, either here or in eternity. You're never going to, and you know, I skipped even over the fulfill. You know, poor old Don Knotts, he still wanted to get on the ground. I'll bet you, you stay in orbit long enough, the ground gets less and less attractive. The only trouble with these verses, you know, some of my enemies just grinding their teeth out there. They sure they had me when I got here. And now I'm playing dirty tricks. I'm giving Greek words that Paul knew and wrote. Emulations. Well, no, I skipped. Witchcraft. Hatred. Hatred. Oh, my. Oh. You know how many Ishmaelites and their mothers hate me? Them mothers know how to hate. I'm dumping on their little darling Ishmael. Well, no, we'll just skip over that one. I mean, you know, there's just too much preaching on adultery and fornicating that until we wipe that out, we're not going to get to hatred. Until I light up this cigarette, then the Ishmaelites start hating. Or every time I light up this cigar. Well, you know, they're going to give me this business in a few minutes about the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, the temple of the Holy Ghost has got the lust of the flesh in it. Sorry. Just like the temple Solomon built. It's got dust in it. Simple facts are, you don't clean the house for the king to come in. He comes in, he does the cleaning job. In fact, he just sort of sets us free and lifts us above it. And I'm telling you, hatred is in the same list as idolatry and pharmakeia and porneia. You can't hate me because I preach the gospel. You realize what kind of blasphemy that is? To hate me because I preach grace and peace? Because people who get on the phone every night, their hatred of me keeps them alive. Some of them worn themselves out with hatred. They put their hate on a tape recording and just plug it in. Call us and put it on a tape recorder. Play their hate. We're winning, folks, when it gets that bad. I'm just so mad. I can just hear him. I'm just so mad. I thought I had him when he got down here to these lusts of the flesh, and now he's making me feel uncomfortable. Get over that hatred bit right away. Okay, let's go to variance. Variance. Divisions. Iris. There's a word in the Greek, just divisions. You ever seen churches divide over grace and peace? When you get there and say, God's grace is on all of you, you have any right to judge anybody horizontally. Variance comes when you start this horizontal judging. You know how many churches are divided over what's right and wrong to do? Like that poor disabled person in Kansas, in Topeka, went into a church and because of her disability had to wear a pantsuit, and somebody slipped her a note and told her she was in sin. Do you know how many hurting people are out there through this kind of hatred and division? Emulations. Now, there's a goodie. I think I'm going to put that one on the board. This one's going to blow you away. Boy, I'm telling you, if you want somebody to get zealous, you get one of these sweating, fanatical fundamentalist preachers on their sin bit. It means to boil over this. And they call it, they think that it's righteous and a righteous wrath against sin. See, not all zeal is right. I got them just full of this. They watch me every night. And they're just full of this. Zelos. Get the Greek word above. They're full of it. I engender more of this. They organize campaigns of hate against me. All because I'm trying to set people free and say, grace of God is there. I believe that you faith in God's promises, He will put His Spirit in you and deliver you from porneia. Well, now, the God of peace, the Thessalonian letter says, isn't that nice? The God that's not against you will sanctify you or separate you from this holy, that is, complete the job over there. And if the Spirit of God dwells in you, these lusts of the flesh will not fulfill their work in you. They'll be dug in like trench warfare and tugging at you all the time. But if you stay in the spaceship or the Spirit is in you, eventually there may be some shaking, but you'll be delivered from that law of gravity or the flesh that holds you down. I don't have any trouble with that doctrine, do you? I mean, the worst sinner in my church has that hope, doesn't he? Now, one of these nights I'm going to get bold enough to really define the classic and Greek meaning of porneia in his day. And you'll really be educated. Emulations. Can't you hear some of these third grade preachers? Now, there are third grade preachers that are smart. Some people have more sense and more education, never went to school, and some who do. You won't find those kind, never went past third grade, with one of these big old fat honorary doctorates given to them that they bought for $100 somewhere, if they have good sense. They know they don't need that piece of paper. Preaching on emulations. But they probably think it means imitation. Or undulations. Like the old preacher preaching on Kneebuck had a rouser. And what we're going to find out is what Miss Kneebuck did that there rouser. Strife. You know what that word is in the Greek? It means intrigues. Intrigues. Deviousness to accomplish their purpose. You know how many intrigues go on in the church of Ishmael and his mother? You know how many of them sit out there and organize telephone-in campaigns to get me off the station? Get on these phones and harass my people and figure out ways through intrigue and conspiracy to further their Ishmaelite purposes. They want to justify their tent meeting between Haran and Abram and their references to Sinai and the church that is down here below, Jerusalem here, that must define all the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. Intrigue, just like those birds did that came and played the role of Peep and Tom. They imported people to peep on Titus so they could find out that he wasn't circumcised. These churches of Ishmael organized little committees in their church to sneak around and catch you doing something. Well, they don't like it when you really start defining these words. seditions. They don't just want to intrigue. They want to seduce you with their intrigue into their warped viewpoint. Now, we'll let God's Word stand on its own two feet. Heresies. Heresies. Now, there was no list of heresies in Paul's day. He talks about the way, the Christian way, when he stood up and defended himself in the book of Acts and says the way which, speaking of the Jews, they call a heresy in the Greek. It was a generalized or generic phrase for a school of thought. The Sadducees were a heresy, a school of thought. That's why I get mad when all these people call me up and say, "Now, what do you believe about this?" They're forever dissecting the Christian faith up into little boxes called schools of thought. And if you don't fit in their box, they call you a heresy. Paul calls the whole thing, the box-fitting job, heresies. Forever conniving, striving, dividing, conspiring, and putting everybody else in heresy camp. And Paul says, anything other than the grace of God and the peace and the message that I preach, but an angel brings it, is heresy. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
Envyings. Oh, none of that goes on in these spiritual fundamentalist churches. They never envy. I'm boring you.
No, sir.
You want me to quit?
No, sir.
You know, sin can be interesting if you really work at it. So we're about to get to murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's such like, that's it. Such like. Such like, and that gets them all. I mean, such like gives you a blank check. Just write it in. No, such like means like such. It's not your such, it's like his such. Let's get the suches here defined. He's just defined the suches. And what he's saying is such likers. That's the liking of such things. That's what it is. Well, now, I just want you to stick to suches like porneia, moikeia. Akatharzia, Gaselgeia, quit trying to apocope me. Apocopean doesn't fit into the camp of porneia. Now, if you're watching on if you're watching on Channel 30, turn to Channel 18. I don't want you to get your head apocopied. Another, who try to conquer it in the flesh and produce the results in the flesh, they're not going to enter heaven. They sure as shooting live in this forever. But if so be it Christ dwelleth in you, you're a new creation in him. A new creation is in you. That new creation is the one that inherits heaven. He'll take you over and plant you there. But I'll come back to that later. Meekness, temperance, against such there's no law. Tolerance and self-control, no law exists against any of them. Verse 24, and they that are Christ's, who are Christ's? Those of faith have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. There, that's it. You got to beat on yourself. No, that's what those perverts do in the tent. There's only one crucifixion that saves. Only one. The once for all crucifixion that Christ accomplished. We that are Christ's go along with God and put it all on Christ. Died right there with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Quit fighting it. Fly. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, showing off our righteousness, so to speak, provoking one another, envying one another. You got more than I got. Brethren, this is where I wanted to get down to. Sixth chapter. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, you know what the Greek is? Kenneth Weiss, the old Baptist expositor out of Moody, saw this. It doesn't mean you get caught. Sorry. They put Phillips here, and those who did this, I could have helped them. They need to add the 27th translation. Phillips says if anybody's caught in the very act of doing wrong, he couldn't be more wrong. The Greek has it, your old nature caught you. It's still there, friends. The God of peace will separate you from it wholly over there. It will not have the last word. The God of peace will have the last word, but over there. As long as we're here, trench warfare continues. But the edge is on the side of the Spirit, and you keep the Spirit in you by faithing, and the outcome is predetermined. But if in the process, the old man, the flesh, gets out, porneia, make sure you stick to the subject. The such-likers. Don't let anybody translate that into smoking and going to a movie. If these fleshly desires overtake you, doesn't mean that somebody else caught you. It means you caught yourself. The way you overtake, just imagine that the flesh is like those... They do everything now and call it sport. What's the thing where they have big tired monsters run over a whole bunch of cars? That's the proper picture of the Greek. This monster of the flesh, your faith, you haven't kept your faith connection tight. And this monster that dwells in all of us overtakes you. It got out. You dirty rat, I knew you was no good. The church would have the spiritual ones, the ones that go around the magnifying glass waiting for it to get out. I knew if I watched you long enough, I'd see it. And the spiritual ones carry this magnifying glass. See? I told you he didn't get it. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest ye also be literally overtaken. That's what makes Phillips' translation. You know, you can analyze it yourself. He tries to wiggle his way through it. Brothers, if anybody's caught in the very act of doing wrong, you who are spiritual in the spirit of gentleness, must set him right. Each of you continuing to think of yourself, or you may be tempted too. That isn't what it says. Lest you be overtaken. Same old man in you. Same old monster may crawl out of your shell. And when you live in the knowledge that the lusts of the flesh reside in all of us and are always trying to get out, and when they do and you see another brother exposed in his weakness, as a spiritual one, you restore him in the spirit of meekness and consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. That doesn't mean you go whip him. That means you say, come on, brother, we all got the problem. Just have faith. They don't try to restore you to faith. They try to restore you to perfection. I don't really quarrel. If people would come to me in love and when they see me losing faith, anytime I lose faith, the old man's going to get out. Because the faith connection keeps the spirit in you, which is the only force that can displace the old man. Am I making a simple thing complicated? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help one another carry those heavy loads, the New English Bible says. Live in that constant knowledge when we sit down to hear the Word of God together that inspires faith. Live with